Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Yak srijya shaktim urudo chvasayan svashaktya. Anyways. Okay. Pumso brahmaya dividhavati bhuta bedaha. Kalak yaya gunamayam kratubir vitanvams. Unamayam Patavir Tasmai Balim Harata Vatsada Panchakaya. Panchakaya Yaksvijya Shaktim Urudochvasayan Swashaktya.
Yaksvijya Shaktim Urudochvasayan Swashaktya.
Pungso Bhamaya Dividavati Buddha Beda. Kalak yaya gunamayam kratubir vitamvams. Tasmai balim harata vatsara panchakaya. Yaha.
One who.
Srijya. Of creation. Shaktim, the seeds, Uruddha,
in various ways,
Uchvasayan,
invigorating,
Swashaktya,
by his own energy,
Pumsaha,
of the living entity.
Abramaya,
to dissipate darkness.
Divi,
during the daytime.
Davati,
moves.
Bhuta Bedaha,
distinct from all other material form.
Kala Akyaya,
by the name eternal time.
Gunamayam,
the material results.
Kratubi,
by offerings.
Vitanvan,
enlarging.
Tasmai,
unto him.
Balim,
ingredients of offerings.
Harata,
one should offer.
Vatsada panchakaya,
offerings every 5 years. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O Vidura, the sun enlivens all living entities with his unlimited heat and light. He diminishes the duration of life of all living entities in order to release them from the illusion of material attachment. And he enlarges the path of elevation to the heavenly kingdom. He thus moves in the firmament with great velocity, and therefore everyone should offer him respects once every 5 years with all ingredients of worship. Okay, no purport, I'll read text 16.
Viduro vacha pitri deva manushyanam ayuk paramidam smitam paresham gatim achakshva yesyu kalpad bahir vidaha.
Viduro said, I now understand the life duration of the residents of the Pitta planets and heavenly planets, as well as that of the human beings. Now kindly inform me of the duration of life of those greatly learned living entities who are beyond the range of a kalpa. Purport. The partial dissolution of the universe that takes place at the end of Brahma's day does not affect all the planetary systems. The planets of the highly learned living entities like Sanaka and Bhrigu are not affected by the dissolutions of the millenniums. All the planets are of different types, and each is controlled by a different Kala Chakra, or schedule of eternal time. The time of the Earth planet is not applicable to other more elevated planets. Therefore, Vidura, here it inquires about the duration of life on other planets. Okay. We're not just interested in calculations of time. Yeah, but it's not on the sheet, so if I pull the sheet, it doesn't affect it. But as we mentioned before, there are planets above Svargaloka where that are not annihilated at the end of Brahma's day. This is a regular thing. There's a partial annihilation of the universe at the end of Brahma's day, just as darkness comes at sunset every day. It's a regular thing. You may not like it. You may have to make arrangements. So much money is spent for electrical lighting when the sun sets. Previously there was no electricity. Sunset, people went to sleep. Couldn't do very much. You can burn a candle and try to read. Yeah. But it was generally, there's not much left to do but go to sleep when the sun sets. Similarly, when Brahma goes to sleep, the lower planets, all the way up to Svargaloka, are destroyed. And everybody on them dies. But the higher planets, including Maharaloka, Janaloka, Tapoloka, Satyaloka, are not destroyed periodically at the end of Brahma's day. They last until the end of the universe's duration. So Bhrigu lives, Bhrigu and other Prajapatis who are Grahasthas live on Maharloka, and they're very much engaged in performing Vedic sacrifices and worshipping the Supreme Lord through rituals. On planets higher than that, Tapoloka, Janaloka, and Tapoloka live the Brahmacharis and Sannyasis who are primarily engaged in meditation. And then the most perfected beings live on Brahma's planet, and they're also mostly meditating. And there's different durations of life and different standards of life. Not only there, but in all planets. Every planet has its own standard of life. Even on the Earth, there are rich countries and poor countries. Countries with good climates and countries with horrible climates. And if you're born in one or another country, you've got the karma of that country. There's your individual karma, and there's your collective karma that you share with your countrymen. Even every city has its own karma. Every small community has its collective karma. And that's part of your conditioning. You share karma with your family members. You share some fraction of your karma with your family members. Life in the material world is like that. To a degree, our karma is unique, individual, and to a different degree, it's shared with others. It doesn't make much difference. It's all ignorance and suffering, whether we have to suffer by ourselves or whether we get to have misery loves company. So we can enjoy complaining to somebody else about our misery, commiserating. But it's misery anyway, whether you have to keep it, whether you can't share it with anybody else, or whether you can, it's still just miserable. So there's so many varieties in the material existence. We want something better than what we have. It's available. Any conceivable arrangement is available in the material world. But whatever is achieved by karmic activities, whether in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance, will not give real happiness to the self. Nastya kritak kritena. But pariksha lokan karma chitan pramano nyuvenam ayat nastya kritak kritena. Someone who has broad intelligence and therefore could actually be called a brahmana, he should observe nirisha lokan karma chitan. He should see all the situations in this world that can be achieved by karma, and he should become disinterested in them, that none of them bring eternal happiness, none of them bring any real substantial happiness. Nastya krita kritena, because you can't achieve the eternal perfection, the eternal world which is not created. You cannot achieve that by any material creation, by any material work. Nasti akrita kritena. Hare Krishna. Tasmat guru eva vigachit shotriya. Rather, tadvigyanartam sadurum eva vigachit samitpanihi shotriyam brahmanishtam. So if you want to know about the spiritual world, you have to approach someone who has experience of it. Tadvigyanartam, so one must approach a transcendentally situated spiritual master and approach him humbly with firewood in one's hands. That means I'm ready to be your assistant, your servant. And that's the qualification of the disciple. The qualification of the guru is that he must be Kshatriyam and Brahmanishtam. He must be learned, he must be fixed in the scriptures, and he must be fixed in the absolute truth, in devotion to the Supreme Person. This means that ultimately our study of the material creation and of the different features of it, including time, is to generate renunciation, a sense of renunciation, a disinterest, nirvedamayat. After examining all the worlds that are created by Brahma, one should, and that are created by karma. Brahma just takes the karma of the living entities and makes worlds based on that karma. When we observe them with a discriminating, indifferent eye, we should become disinterested. We should lose all interest in these material creations. It shouldn't attract us, it shouldn't repel us, but it should generate our disinterest. Now, why should I want to have anything to do with this silly material creation? I shouldn't be repelled by it, I shouldn't be attracted to it. I should find my interest elsewhere. As Jesus Christ preached, you should build up your treasure in the kingdom of heaven. Let the dead bury the dead. Okay, so maybe go to the next verse. Okay, I'll read verse 17. Bhagavan Veda Kalasya. You can read, you can chant. Bhagavan Veda Kalasya. Gatim Bhagavato Nanu Vishwam Vichakshate Dira Yogadadhena Chakshusha Bhagavan Veda Kalasya Gatim Bhagavato Nanu Vishwam Vichakshate Dira Yogadadhena Chakshusha Translation of Purport by Srila Prabhupada. O spiritually powerful one, you can understand the movements of eternal time, which is the controlling force of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm sorry, it says the controlling form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because you are a self-realized person, you can see everything by power of mystic vision. Purport. Those who have reached the highest perfectional stage of mystic power, they can see everything in the past, present, and future, are called Trikala-gyas. Similarly, the devotees of the Lord can see everything clearly that is in the revealed scriptures. The devotees of Lord Sri Krishna can very easily understand the science of Krishna, as well as the situation of the material and spiritual creations without difficulty. Devotees do not have to endeavor for any yoga siddhi or perfection in mystic power. They are competent to understand everything by the grace of the Lord, who is sitting in everyone's heart. Vidura is telling Maitreya, because of your spiritual accomplishments, you should have no problem understanding and explaining to me this mysterious time, which is a special energy of the Personality of Godhead. A yogi, by virtue of his yogic discipline, attains mystic powers, including the power to see the past and the future. A Vaishnava achieves these without separate endeavor. He doesn't have to follow any yogic discipline. He simply follows the discipline of becoming attracted to Krishna. And on the strength of his realization of Krishna, on the strength of his connection with Krishna, he gets those powers to see. Krishna gives him. Yasmin vigyate sarvameva vigyatam bhavati. When you know the absolute truth, everything is known. Certainly when you know Krishna, because Krishna personally reciprocates with you, he tells you in person what you need to know. Krishna will inform as the super soul, or maybe appearing face to face, Krishna will inform his devotee about whatever needs to be known, whether it's something that would ordinarily be knowable or not. Whether it's the secrets of the past and the future, Krishna can reveal them easily to his devotee. Or withhold them, whatever. But a devotee can know everything by the mercy of Krishna. He can have all powers, although he doesn't want them. And Krishna doesn't want to give the devotee something that will cause him to become entangled or become forgetful. So Krishna may withhold knowledge or power from his devotee, but he can easily give everything. A devotee should never feel lack of anything, should never hanker for anything, because he's the servant of the master who has all these things. My master Krishna can give me everything. And if he doesn't, he has a reason why. So, what are the words here? Yoga Radhena Chakshusha. Vidura says, Maitreya, your eyes, by your yogic practice, you've achieved this vision. But Maitreya is not a materialistic yogi or an impersonal yogi. He's a great devotee also. Maybe not as great as Uddhava. When Uddhava and Maitreya both came to Krishna at the same time, Krishna talked to Uddhava and didn't say anything to Maitreya. So he didn't recognize Maitreya as being as great a devotee as Uddhava. Still, he's a devotee. He's great enough that he's the competent speaker of the Bhagavatam. And Uddhava recommended to Vidura, you hear from Maitreya, Srimad Bhagavatam. Uddhava would not recommend Vidura to hear from an impersonalist.
or from an ordinary yogi. So Maitreya is a great devotee, he just isn't as great as Uddhava. And therefore Uddhava got the first, got Krishna's attention. Maitreya was invited, was welcome to sit and listen to the conversation between Krishna and Uddhava. And therefore he heard everything, and he could repeat everything and present it in his own words to Vidura. And Maitreya knows other things that he's heard elsewhere. That's Maitreya's yoga. Maitreya practiced yoga at the lotus feet of Krishna by hearing yoga of Shravana. He practiced other disciplines in his long life. But the most significant thing is that he heard Krishna speaking to Uddhava. The whole 11th canto, there's so much knowledge, and Maitreya heard all of that. He had a front seat, and he was able to understand. We can sit and listen, and it may go in one ear and out the other, but in the case of Maitreya, he assimilated everything very nicely. Therefore, he's qualified, because he heard nicely, he's able to speak nicely. You want to preach? Then listen. Prabhupada knew that. His Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he recognized him because he was eager to hear. And on the virtue, by virtue of that, he got the blessings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to preach. Okay, so I'll stop. Are there any questions or comments?
I have a question about the sun.
Yeah.
In first, the Bhagavatam is a Mala Purana, so it only focuses on worshiping Krishna. But then in two cases I can think, one is in here, it recommends that the sacrifice be performed every so often. And also when we chant like Brahma Gayatri, ultimately you're at the end worshiping the sun, but still the sun is Surya Narayan. So could you talk about those two things?
We don't worship any demigod separately, but sun is understood to be an incarnation of Krishna. Therefore we worship as Surya Narayan. We're worshiping Narayan in the Gayatri Mantra. In the meditation that's presented in the 12th canto of the 12 months of the year, this seems to be a little out of the mood of the Bhagavatam. It seems to be a little incongruous. We can only understand it as, with the understanding that sun god is Krishna, or he's a direct empowered representative of Krishna. Don't know why that. I mean, why not worship some other demigods also and call them representatives of Krishna? But what the practices and the meditations that the Bhagavatam recommends, those will take. And other ones, even though we may think they're equally, if that's Krishna conscious, then why not worshipping this demigod or any other demigod, Ganesh or somebody? But where's the meditation on Ganesha in Srimad Bhagavatam? It isn't there. Or on Durga, not there. So we'll just have to accept the judgment of Srimad Bhagavatam, what's relevant, what's not for us.
So then worship of the sun for us is not in harmonious with them.
I don't know if that means we should daily perform Surya Puja. And I don't think there's any prescription for that.
Yeah.
The gopis
years.
Do that. Once every 5 years, okay.
Yeah,
once every 5 years we can have a Surya festival. The gopis worship every day, but that's their leela. King Satrajit worshipped the sun god, but that was his fall down. He comes marching into Dwarka, a demigod worshipper. He got into serious trouble. He got killed. Now, Dwarka is not a place for demigod worshippers. Everybody was fooled. Oh my god, the sun god has come himself. But he ended up getting killed. Krishna says in the Gita that those who worship the demigods are worshipping me, but not properly, and they're less intelligent. It may be appropriate for some people, but for a Vaishnav, for a Gaudiya Vaishnav, say, to get distracted by demigod worship is not appropriate.
Then what about our Gayatri then? We have to chant that every day 3 times a day.
We understand that as worshipping Krishna. Yeah. In the Rig Veda, all the demigods are just partial manifestations of the powers of the personality of Godhead. They're the limbs of his body. There are many different names of demigods, but the worship is actually of the absolute truth. So we're not interested in the karmakanda presentation of the Vedas. We want to extract from the Vedas the essence. So if we chant the Brahma Gayatri, we're chanting it as worship of Lord Narayan. The last Gayatri mantra is worshipping Cupid, but we're not worshipping Cupid per se. We're worshipping Krishna. Anything else? Okay, thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.